The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Will this be the final death rattle for Major League Baseball as a major league entertainment product in the United States of America? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That's 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk a little sports. Let's preview the AFC West. We're going to have a little fun. Let's review our weekend homework on the best superhero movie, drafted last Friday. And we'll take things a little seriously as we revisit the conversations we had yesterday in an open forum here on the Will Cain Show, agreement and disagreement, the reality of the situation in our country. From policing to rioting, we'll continue the conversation in a real and open manner today here on the Will Cain Show. But we start with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The current proposals seem to be to accept a prorated amount of salary for Major League Baseball players with a disagreement on how many games that salary will be prorated across. In the beginning, in March, as the coronavirus pandemic took center stage before exiting stage left to race in America, Major League Baseball Players Association and the Major League Baseball owners agreed to a prorated salary. And at that time, the anticipation was, maybe we'll play half the games this season, 82 games, and then therefore half the salary. Of course, you know, after that, the owners came back after the realization they wouldn't have fans in the stand with the idea they wouldn't have half of their revenue. So they offered players pay cuts, big pay cuts, off those prorated salaries, something the players wanted nothing to do with. As you heard here on the Will Cain Show, with audio from people like Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Blake Snell. In return, the Players Association has offered to play 114 games for a full prorated salary over those 114 games. And the latest is that the players, or rather the owners, have said, how about 50 games? We're pulling in opposite directions. We're pulling for dissension. We're pulling in the direction of no baseball in 2020. And I was listening to First Take this morning, and I was listening to Max and Stephen A. discuss what that could mean for baseball, and I found it kind of fascinating. This is a real inflection point for the popularity of baseball as a national entertainment product. Here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take saying baseball may never recover.
The bottom line is that your sport, to some degree, is going to fade. You already canceled the World Series in 1994. You had to work diligently and use steroid-induced Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to revitalize the sport at that particular moment in time. And then now you're going to come back when 40-plus million people are unemployed or furloughed, wondering what their futures are going to have. Their quality of life has dissipated and is evaporating before their very eyes. Racial strife and beyond has taken over this country, at least momentarily. So in the end, they all got to come together and recognize America's not in love with you anymore. If you mess this up and this season gets canceled, I don't know if baseball will recover from it.
I think Stephen A. is right. I think it's an extreme miscalculation by the millionaires and billionaires of professional baseball to think taking a year off during this crisis because the money just isn't quite right is a reasonable position to hold. I think it could further infuse cynicism into our views of baseball. We've had player strikes. We've had seasons canceled. We have had steroid scandals and we have had cheating scandals. And if in fact we have the idea that it's better not to work amidst a national pandemic, racial tensions, and an economic crisis approaching levels of the Great Depression, you have layered on the final cynical straw on the camel's back, in my mind. Now, cynicism in and of itself doesn't kill professional sports. There's a ton of cynicism towards professional football in the NFL. but the NFL's not boring. The NFL is fun. You can be boring, or you can be cynical, but you cannot be both. And baseball is suffering from the potential of committing those two sins at the same time. Don't be boring and sneering. Don't be boring and cynical. You'll start to sound like most of the sports writers out there. For that, we can't forgive you. I think this comes at an odd time for baseball as well. In my mind, baseball at the youth level is getting more popular. When I look back at my friends in Texas and across this nation and other places, I see a lot of their sons playing youth baseball. I looked it up. I had Nuno find the stats, and we went through it together. And it's true that over the last 3 to 4 years, baseball at a youth level participation has gone up. It's gone up some 3%. I'll have you know, though, over the last decade, it's down pretty dramatically. Truthfully, all youth sports participation is down pretty big over the last decade. And I can only imagine what these stats will look like after 6 months, 9 months, whatever our time frame may be, of youth sports being canceled in this country. You take a season off, I wonder how many people come back after the coronavirus quarantine. Still, baseball was trending up over the last couple of years. What more, if you look at the ratings for baseball at local regional sports networks, they were also trending up. There is an audience for baseball. It's increasingly at the local level and decreasingly at the national level. But with that momentum, then, we approach this crisis with a future that I think you could project some brightness into. Now, baseball is having trouble agreeing whether or not to work in 2020. Max Kellerman responded to Stephen A. with saying he thinks the saddest part is maybe no one will care. Listen.
Baseball is necessarily from an earlier time. It's not as cutting edge as the other sports. It has certainly not captured the imagination of the youth culture. And by the way, baseball's my favorite. I love baseball. Stephen A., I know your father played baseball on a high level, and you're a baseball fan. This is not my personal preference. I love baseball, but I want to be real about it. What they have to come back. Mm-hmm. If baseball doesn't come back, what? The sad thing is, guys like you and me will miss it. The kids ain't going to even miss it, Stephen A. They'll never even know what they had.
Max,
it is essential for them to come back.
Max might be right. But again, I think it was trending in a positive direction for baseball. I think despite our cynicism, despite cheating and steroids, despite player strikes, there was reason to think baseball could be on the right foot. And then it reverted to its old habit. And then it reverted to form. Baseball can't give in to this cynicism. It can't layer a work stoppage on top of a national pandemic, an economic depression, and racial tension. For the future of its sport, I believe baseball needs to come back in 2020. It is a sport that needs to be on the stage to commandeer any attention. Can you imagine baseball taking a year off when every other sport comes roaring back in the fall and coming back to us in the spring of 2021 and saying, remember me? Not everyone will be lost, but that cynicism combined with what is inherently a slow and somewhat boring sport will be too much for baseball to bear. Baseball better find a way to come back in 2020. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up a little bit later here in the Will Cain Show, we'll start with who nominated the worst superhero movie for our weekend homework over this past Saturday and Sunday. Plus, we opened the conversation up. It was raucous. There was full of disagreement with me and you, some callers, some guests, and myself. Because that's the way it's supposed to be done in my mind. That's the only path forward. It isn't silence. It's conversation. Yes, listening, but also conversing. And we will continue that. I want to share with you some of the responses I got yesterday of people who listen to this show and say, yesterday, Will, here's where I think you fell short. As always, I open this show up to those who disagree and who tell me they're disappointed in me. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to continue the conversation that we began yesterday. Throughout the show today, we're going to be talking sports again. We'll be previewing the AFC West. I'm going to talk about small market teams in the NBA and whether or not they need to come back this season, just like Major League Baseball. I'm going to talk about the power of habit and whether or not breaking the habit of watching sports in their season could mean a real loss in audience for various leagues across this country. But I also want to continue the conversation that we had in an open forum yesterday here on the Will Cain Show. I increasingly think open forums are rare. I think you get two types of forums, mostly, in the media today. One that tells you what you want to hear and echoes what you already believe. I think if you've been listening this long, you know that's not the Will Cain Show. And the other is not a conversation at all, but simply projection. Projection of what you would like others to believe about you. Not about who you are, but who you want others to think you are. I think that's going on today. And that's one of the things I want to talk about here on the Will Cain Show. We'll talk about the Instagram takeover of Blackout Tuesday, where people should not be talking or posting, but rather staying silent and posting a black box. I also want to talk about what's going on in the streets across America and how this cannot last, that the danger is ratcheting up and the next steps are going to be awful if we do not put out the fires across America. But I want to start with where we were yesterday. I had a big conversation with you. I shared with you my thoughts. I think that this country has to get over a largely individual problem of racism. I do think it metastasizes from individuals into organizations. But I think when we look at things like police brutality and the role of race in police brutality, something I do not deny, I think we have to make a very responsible analysis and calculated balance between what the data tells us against our own personal experiences, both of which are evidence to bring to bear. And I got a lot of feedback from the show yesterday. At the beginning of the show, I'm going to be real with you, I thought it was nobody wants to hear this. By the end of the show, I got a lot of tweets saying the last 3 hours have been exactly what we need and we appreciate the forum. Interestingly, it didn't need to be, nor was it always accompanied by the idea, I agree with everything you say, Will, which is never something that I ask for. In that spirit, I wanted to share with you some tweets I got yesterday. This is a series of tweets from one man, and his Twitter handle is Can't Get Right. I told him at the end of it that I wanted to share this on air, and he said, cool, respect. And I want to share this with you because it, like the call with P.I., my friend, as much as we can be friends having never met face-to-face, and frequent caller here to the Will Cain Show, much like the conversation we had yesterday. You want to talk about having real and hard conversations the way everybody preaches? Try ones where people will tell you that they think you're the problem. Try ones where you can tell each other you think you're wrong. You think that's a step backwards? I think it's a step forwards. Here's the tweets from Can't Get Right, and I get the reference, and I think it's pretty funny. Here's what he said to me first. Inspired show today. I love listening to your show because you offer a peek in the hearts and minds of a section of white America that I otherwise would not be privy to. You are the white guy that has black friends with whom you respect, however, you can't empathize with. Your lack of empathy isn't your fault. You share this with most white Americans. You're not racist, but you come off that way to those with an untrained eye. You need proof that the black experience is real because it's not your own. I want to pause here because he sent me 3 or 4 tweets in a row. I'll start with this. I admit that empathy isn't the easiest emotion for me to access. I've said that before and I want to be real about it. Every step of the way, my North Star is real. I have biases. I have beliefs. You know, we've talked about that. Do I have leanings in a certain political direction? Yes, I do. You are right. Or maybe I am. I think acknowledging that is the first step, not just towards truth, but respect. I tell you where my leanings are so you can compensate, and then we can have an honest conversation with each other. I tell you that empathy isn't the easiest emotion for me to access. I hit the logic button much quicker. I look for reason more frequently. And that's not something I'm proud to tell you. I think empathy is part of life and one I seek to improve upon. So can't get right is off on the right track when he tells me I might be missing this part of it. I think he's wrong what he says next. I honestly believe you reject the premise that black Americans should have fear of the police. This blinds you in every race conversation you have. You skip to the solution phase, but you can't completely stomach the premise. You're not alone, and it's not all on you to fix racism. I don't reject the premise. I don't know how many times I can say it. What I get troubled by is that when I say it, it's not heard. Because I have more things to say besides that. You see, for example, with this thing going on in society right now, this Blackout Tuesday on Instagram, or when people tell me, and I have some other tweets I want to share with you, that I don't listen, I'm increasingly thinking you're not saying anything about listening. What you mean is something about agreeing. Because I listen, and then I respond. But that's not seeming to be what is desired. It's seeming to be listening and silence. Ultimately, silence and agreement. And I'm the wrong guy. Not only do I think that's a wrong tact, I think it's disrespectful. I think it's pandering. I don't think it's real at all. Can't Get Right goes on. He says, I want you to know, or I'm sorry, he said, that's in fact what he thought was going on with me and P.I. P.I. didn't want you to agree with him, so now he's disagreeing with what I just told you. He wanted you as a friend to empathize with his truth. White and blacks are on the front lines protesting because they empathize with a plight that they might not endure. In the end, he said he loves the show and he respects the way I come about things, but he wants to point out where he thinks I'm missing it. I'm always open to hearing that. I'm always open to hearing where I'm wrong. And I'll do it again today. Before I go to commercial break, I want to hear from one of the first of our callers, and that is Joe in L.A., who is calling both on Major League Baseball's financial disagreements, and he is also a former police officer. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Will. I listen to your show even though I'm Boomer Sooner, and I know you're Texas, but we'll talk about that another time. You know,
of today's disagreements, that would be a small one among people.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know, the only thing I got – it's like everybody's painting law enforcement and all the police officers with a wide brush that they're all racist, they're all this and all that. You know, there are a lot of us that were just as disgusted with what we saw last Monday as anyone else. You didn't have to be black to me or brown or anything else. I have an African American wife and two biracial kids, and you know, and they saw that, you know, we couldn't believe it. You know, we're just as disgusted. And instead of like looting and protesting, you know, what can we do to try to fix that? You know, I think we need to have a situation where we hold the officers to a higher standard when it comes to discharging a firearm, when you come to shooting, using deadly force. You know what, when it comes to de-escalating and escalating, you know what, try to bring it down as opposed to like you know, ramping it up. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that when we worked, if we saw somebody that was crossing the line, hey, you know what? Hey, knock that shit off or knock that off. We had three other officers who stood there and did nothing and mm-hmm. allowed this to happen. And I can't understand why they weren't arrested and charged as well. I mean, that's kind of frustrating. And what I like about your show, and I'm going to just get this in there, and I'm listening to Stephen A., and I turned it off because it's so one-sided. The thing about your show is, Will, is that everybody has their opinion. And I can't believe that no one at ESPN has a police chief, an official that they can get on and let them voice what they have to say instead of getting all these other people that have negative experience. Get the other side. Let someone else speak instead of beating up on law enforcement, because that's what I feel like they're doing right now.
All right, Joe, I appreciate the call. I appreciate your thoughts. I'll keep having that open conversation. For what it's worth, I can see my phone lines right now, and I know that there are other police officers who would like to contribute to this conversation. This is the open conversation I promise to offer in the national media. You want to tell me I'm wrong, just like the tweets I just read to you? I'm here for it. You want to tell me other people are wrong? We'll hear you out. We'll have an open and honest conversation. We'll also preview the AFC West starting next with ESPN's front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, on The Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Who's going to pull up in the Kansas City Chiefs' wake? Who's going to ride that tide to second place? It's a little surprising, but some are saying the Denver Broncos. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. And now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line is ESPN's NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. What's up, Mike?
Will, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you. I want to ask you, between two quarterbacks, both in the AFC West, between Derek Carr in Las Vegas and Drew Lock in Denver, who do you have more faith will retain their status as franchise quarterback of that given organization?
Yeah, you know, I'll go with Drew Lock. He's really intriguing to me. A year ago when he came out, I was saying that if he didn't start in Missouri and let's say went someplace else in the SEC, the Auburns, the Alabamas, the Georgias, we'd be talking about a top 15 pick. He was a four-year starter. He had some opportunities to play college basketball. Well, he's a really good athlete. And you look at the job they've done over the last couple of years in getting weapons. You know, this year they added two receivers in Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler, you know, at tight end. They drafted Noah Fant a year ago. They took Drew Lock's tight end from Missouri this year in Albert O. They've done a lot to surround him with a lot of weapons, and they signed Melvin Gordon as well. So I think Drew Lock has a chance to really take the next step this year.
I agree. What they've surrounded Drew Lock with, and they've made some additions to the offensive line, it's a few more question marks on the offensive line than at the skill positions. But I agree, they have surrounded Drew Lock with everything. But that's almost why I asked the question, Mike. When you're given something, what's the quote in Spider-Man? To whom much is given, much is expected, or great responsibility, great, I don't know, but everybody's about to tell me. But the point is, expectations will be great for Drew Lock, and I wonder, if he does falter, it'll be pretty clear that the young quarterback is the issue, not what's around him. And it does make me wonder, then, how much patience will there be for Drew Lock in Denver?
Yeah, I agree. The biggest question to me goes back to the left tackle, Garrett Bowles. He's been very up and down in his career. They drafted Cushenberry, a talented center out of LSU in the third round. There's a lot of pieces that are there. So beyond the left tackle, this looks like a really good offense. And again, they go three deep at running back. And typically when you work with defensive head coaches like Vic Fangio, they want to run the ball, play action, because those are things that are really hard for them to defend. And again, that's why I think guys like Noah Fant have a chance to do really well this year. That's really interesting, probably a little bit under the radar. A couple questions about their secondary, but beyond that, Will, they have a chance to probably make some noise out there. I don't think they challenged Kansas City, but they could be in the contention for a wild card.
Do you think, Mike, if Drew Lock did falter, and a roster and a team that seems to be prepared to compete right now, do you think that Denver could be a place that Cam Newton could find a home, if not midseason, maybe even before the season?
Boy, that's interesting. I haven't thought about them, but yeah, you look behind them, you know, Jeff Driskel is really the only other quarterback of note, so that's interesting. I keep thinking that Cam Newton going to Pittsburgh, he could replace Ben Roethlisberger in a year or two. Ben's missed 14 games over the last two seasons. Cam's 31. Obviously, health is going to be the big question mark with him, but that does make a lot of sense because beyond, you know, Lock, there is just a lot of question marks. So it's certainly going to be a great opportunity for somebody to sign Cam.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN's NFL front office insiders on our Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. So, Mike, let me share with you a thought and see what you think. I think whether or not we're talking about Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota, we are talking about the Ryan Tannehill line. So here's what I mean by that. I have to think that a year from now, John Gruden is in the open quarterback market unless either Carr or Mariota accomplishes what Ryan Tannehill did a year ago. To me, that means an amazing statistical performance to make you think there's individual quarterback talent to build around and a team that has real success. I don't know about AFC championship game, but perhaps at least divisional round for either of those guys, Carr or Mariota, if he gets the opportunity to become the quarterback in Vegas. Otherwise, I think Gruden's out shopping a year from now. What do you think of that?
Oh, I totally agree. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them shopping because they were able to move the ball last year. They just couldn't score any points. And look, they did. They try to address that this year, drafting Henry Ruggs, who I think is going to be a dynamic receiver. I really like him. And they drafted a couple other interesting players. One is Brian Edwards, who was kind of a jack-of-all-trades player at South Carolina, and Lynn Bowden, similar sort of athletic skill set from Kentucky, both third-rounders. So I think Coach Gruden will be able to be varied and diverse in his offense. I just don't think they're as good as certainly Kansas City and even Denver. So I wouldn't be surprised if next year we're talking about Jacksonville and maybe Las Vegas as teams that could be trying to compete to get that first pick, and Trevor Lawrence or maybe even Justin Fields.
Okay, good stuff. ESPN Info Front Office Insider Mike Tannenbaum here on The Will Cain Show. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Will. Appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Let me hear quickly from KC in Colorado. What's up, KC? You're on The Will Cain Show.
He's retirement.
KC, you're on The Will Cain Show.
Hey, sorry about that, Will. Yeah, so I was calling in just to share. So I'm a police officer out here in the Denver area, and one of my close friends got ripped out of his jurisdiction to go help assist with the riots that are happening down there. And he sent me photographs of people spray painting "My heroes kill cops, kill a cop, save a life," stuff like that. My wife has been getting like harassing text messages from a former coworker, her telling her that I deserve to experience police brutality myself just because I'm a cop. And I guess, like, just the last thing I kind of want to point out about it, it's sort of ironic that when it comes to racism with people, you know, they feel like they're being unfairly grouped because of just who they are in spite of what they've done. And yet, just because I put on a uniform, I feel like I'm being unfairly grouped in spite of what I've done, right? So it seems kind of hypocritical, just based on, I feel like, people's interactions and demeanors with us and their attitudes. So I signed up for this job. It is what it is. It doesn't really bother me. But, yeah, just want to share my thoughts on that.
Casey, I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. I would say this. I know the response to what you just said. It'll be that you can take that uniform off, and the group that you belong to, you can walk away from. But I will say that doesn't change the truth of what you just said. You see, I think that the core problem at the base of racism is denial of another's humanity. I think the core problem at the base of what happened between Derek Chauvin and George Floyd was denial of George Floyd's humanity. And when anyone, including police officers, are all treated as a symbol, as an institution, as anything but a human, we are doing the same thing we're supposedly fighting against. There were officers killed last night. There were officers dragged out in places like New York and LA, run over in Buffalo. And I will tell you, it will have to stop. It will have to stop immediately, or it will get much, much worse. We can do two things at the same time. We can acknowledge the travesty that happened in Minneapolis. We can work on issues at an individual and societal level, and we can try to get this chaos under control. Coming up, who nominated the worst superhero movie? That's next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The homework over the weekend was superhero movies. We drafted Nuno Bubba, Mike A, and myself, along with, instead of Pat, an audience recommendation. Pat's not off the show. He was just off this past weekend. Who nominated the best and worst superhero movie over the last weekend? Here's how the draft went. Bubba took, I believe it was you, Bubba, Dark Knight.
Yes.
Nuno took Spider-Man 2. Mike A.
No,
took...
original Spider-Man.
2, right?
No.
2002.
What'd you watch?
No, that was it. From 2002. Mike A. got Thor Ragnarok.
Somebody didn't do the homework.
I did too. I did Deadpool, and you got me on skates now.
He's rattled.
I read the chapter on World War One.
And the
World
audience recommendation.
Yeah, that's the one.
The audience recommendation was Logan. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. As we always do, we spend a segment talking about who nominated the worst, who drafted the worst, and who drafted the best. In the third hour of the show, we'll say who won. But for now, let's talk about who got last place. Mike A. fashions himself a superhero expert. So I actually want to start with Bubba on this one. Bubba, which one did you think was worst?
All right. Well, I think it comes down to two for me. That would be Spider-Man and Logan. Going into this, the only movie I had seen before was Dark Knight. So the other four, never seen them before. Not a big superhero guy, and these four did not really help things.
Oh, you didn't like them in general?
No, not particularly. Not really running the theaters to see them again. Spider-Man didn't really feel like it held up. Pretty old. It was made when I was in high school. But you know what? We got Jason in Alaska, all these people saying how great Logan was, and I don't know what on earth they're talking about. Because I did not find it enjoyable at all. It was the first movie I watched. I'm like, all right, everyone's talking this movie up. I'll watch it first. It'll be great. Let's set the tone. I didn't enjoy it at all. Logan last.
Why?
It wasn't a good movie. I don't know why. Huh. Make a better movie, Hugh. I don't know. What do you want from me?
I'm going to vote, and it's immediately going to get attacked. I think... last place is Spider-Man. I think Nuno ran a risk. You went too far back, and I think superhero movies progress and get better in two ways. Obviously, in CGI and technology, but the other is they get more adult thematically and get more complicated and interesting, and I just think Spider-Man got left behind. I think that's your mistake, as you drafted one that was too old, Nuno.
Okay. I hear your mistake. I hear what you're saying. I empathize with you.
Oh, gosh.
No, like, I like Bubba. I think my issue with Spider-Man was it didn't hold up, right? However, I didn't watch Logan first. I actually watched it. I watched Spider-Man last night. I watched Logan was the fourth movie that I watched. And there was just something about it that didn't do it for me. Like, it wasn't as, you know, and I'm also not a big superhero guy, but to me, there just wasn't, there was a lot of action. There wasn't any, they really didn't get into the fact that it was his daughter, spoiler alert. You know, just the way they killed his father.
Logan,
spoiler alert.
I'll give you this. Like, the plot of Logan's not complicated. That's the problem to me. It's too simplistic compared to the other. So I get it, but it's stylistically pretty good. Like, Bubba, the music you're bumping in with, that's Logan. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm aware. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So Logan for me is last. Go ahead, Mike A. Make this a 2-2 thing, and the callers will have to decide.
Okay, I will say this. You guys are right on the bottom two.
I agree with that, too.
I will say this. It was not a great category to pick, as excited as I was, simply because these movies have such intricate backstories that if you don't know them, it becomes much harder. Nuno just called Charles Xavier Logan's father, which is hysterical. That being said, classics hold up. New ones hold up, but there's that middle piece. Nuno's right. Spider-Man, vote last place.
All right, so we have a tie, 2-2. Spider-Man versus Logan. And Pat's not on the show, so we don't know which way he would have voted because he didn't watch the movies. So it's up to you, 888-729-3776.
Well, considering it was the listener's pick, we know they're going to pick Spider-Man.
Well, it wasn't
even
all
though
the listeners.
Logan was terrible.
It wasn't all the listeners. It was just some.
A clown in Alaska.
It was a pretty common one.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.